Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Democrats and Republicans sitting together at the State of the Union, a bipartisan effort to review mental health laws. Even a slight toning down in language. Has civility come to Washington in the wake of the Tucson shootings? In a couple of minutes, we're going to go to the Detroit Auto Show. But to start today, Rick Klein, senior Washington news editor for ABC World News and host of that network's political webcast, Top Line, is here to set the table for the week ahead in Washington. And Rick, it seems as if we can at least seat some Democrats and Republicans next to each other at that table, more responding to Senator Mark Udall's call for them to sit together at the State of the Union.
That's right. This is going to look different than any State of the Union in recent memory. Usually you have one side standing to its feet, certain lines, the other side sitting in stony silence. This is going to be a different. We've already got a critical mass of lawmakers in both parties who say they're going to find a friend from the other side of the aisle to join, and there won't actually be that aisle divide. So you're going to have this intermingling. It's purely symbolic, but hopefully from the perspective of lawmakers, it sends a signal that there's a lot of big disagreements out there, but that doesn't mean that you can't be personally close and personally friendly.
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, but it might mean you'd be less likely to yell out, "You lie," if you're surrounded by people from another party.
I think it's fair to say that in the current climate, it's exceedingly unlikely that that any kind of event like that happens, any sort of outburst. Lawmakers are going to be watching their words, watching their body language. They are very cognizant in the wake of that Tucson shooting, which hit so close to home when it's one of their own colleagues who was targeted there. They're going to be very careful about the signals that they send to those beyond. They know that we're in an overheated period of our rhetoric in our culture, in our political life, and they're going to be careful about it. And I think this is going to be probably a toned-down affair in terms of the normal partisan barbs that we hear flying back and forth.
No, and yet we know that Republicans still want to make clear their displeasure with the health reform. They named their bill to repeal health reform the Repealing the Job-Killing Health Care Law Act. And now Democrats tried to get them to change that because Democrats and many economists don't think it will be job-killing, but also in the wake of the Tucson shootings, they wanted to tone down the language. They didn't get the bill's name changed, but over the weekend, Speaker John Boehner didn't call it job-killing. He called it job-destroying. Do we know why?
Officially, the Speaker's office say it's a coincidence that he uses different descriptions at different times in different settings, but I think it's fair to read something significant into the change in language. There's the different signal that's sent by saying something that's a job-killing versus destroying jobs. It may be a slight thing, and it's only semantics. Clearly, he doesn't like the law regardless, but it is important in this time that everyone's words are going to be watched so closely. A lot of people were critical of the way that bill was labeled. That, of course, is staying, as you mentioned, the same. But in terms of how you describe what you're going after, I think it's important. And these little subtle things can make a big difference in the end.
Well, could it also be because a new AP poll came out this weekend showing opposition to health care reform is softening? After the November election, 47% opposed the reform, 38% supported it. Now 41% are against it and 40% supporting it. So what does that increased support mean for Republicans?
Well, I don't think it means anything in terms of the way that they're going to go about this. They still feel like the public is on their side and against this, but it does highlight maybe an opportunity for Democrats. They've been able to, with Republicans focusing on the repeal effort, highlight some areas of the law that are more popular with the public, such as keeping kids on your insurance until they're 26 or ensuring that people with pre-existing conditions can get coverage. The Democrats missed an opportunity during the campaign to highlight the more popular aspects of the law, but there are some pieces of it that poll quite highly, and I think especially when the Republicans turn to a piecemeal attempt to take down aspects of Obamacare, that's when they'll have a chance to make the case, say, look, these are things that the public actually does broadly support.
Well, and Rick Klein, one last quick question in the few seconds we have. What about this debate over the debt ceiling and increasing it? Republicans had said previously, no vote to increase the debt ceiling and not shut down the government unless we get real cuts. They seem to have softened that language.
That's right. And no one thinks that it's not going to be raised. That Governor Tim Pawlenty, who was probably running for president in 2012, said over the weekend that he thinks that Republicans should stand firm on this. But that's the minority opinion among leadership on Capitol Hill. They realize this is nothing you have to do as part of responsible governance. They won't be happy with it. They may extract some concessions as a result of it. But the debt ceiling is going to be raised.
Rick Klein, senior Washington news editor for ABC World News and host of that network's political webcast, Top Line. On the week ahead in Washington, Rick, thanks as always.
Thank you.